Randy's scripture this morning comes from John chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. John 9, 1 to 12. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and I washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said.
This morning, we begin our theme for 2021, as you see it hopefully up there on the screen, "Look instead for what God can do." I feel like in many ways our theme of this past year, "Waiting on God in a Hurried World," seemed to be very helpful in guiding us, as I heard from many of you throughout the year that it seemed very fitting. And I hope this one is fitting as well. Some people may ask, and so I thought I would just give a little background as to, well, how do we come up with these themes? How do I think about these? How do I run them through the other staff and worship planning? I was at Spruce Lake, I think, in October, and part of my routine there is to sit on the porch outside of the main lodge and just sort of quietly reflect there over the pond, quote, the lake of Spruce Lake. And I like to get up there early in the morning and just sit there. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking at this time, this was pre-election and all the tension in our society about the election and about other issues that have been going on in our culture. And I thought how quickly we are to blame and throw darts at the other side. And this passage came to me that perhaps, as in John 9, as it is says, these things are happened so that the work of God may be revealed. And so I thought this would be a good focus for us. So I want us to think about, how is it that we look instead at what God wants to do? How is it in our daily lives, in our relationships, in our struggles, might we get trapped in looking to blame? Might we get trapped in seeing the fault or the reason or how this happened? I know myself, I can easily get caught on how and what made things go wrong. And yet I think God is inviting us, and I want us to think about over the next several months in particular to focus on how do we look instead to see what God may want to do. And so we're going to look at this. If you know this story at all, you know this story doesn't end in verse 12, but rather it goes through the whole chapter, and we're going to look at that in the weeks ahead. But I want us this morning just to get that first glimpse of what it is we may look instead for what God can do and how might be calling us to do that. To help us start with understanding that idea, and before we get into the story of the question that the disciples asked, I want us to think about first how quickly we ourselves label and judge or maybe label and categorize things. So I'm going to have, I asked John Swartley, I put some pictures together. We're going to look at some pictures here, And I'm just going to ask you some questions, just to sort of like when you go to the eye doctor and the eye doctor says, is number one a little better or number two? And some of you can right away when you're in that, you say, oh, definitely number one looks better, or maybe number two. And some of you say, well, I can't really tell. I don't really care. I'm not sure. And so that's what we're going to do with some of these slides, just to have a little fun. So if you look at these, and I know some of you will recognize these cars, not all of you will. But if you would look at the car on your left, and I'm going to go from left to right on these slides, the car on the left was a car that when I was a child, I thought if ever I could have a car when I get driving, that would be my car. And some of you will recognize that's a 1971 Buick Riviera. Now, if you were to choose between that or the car on the right, that's a 2020 Lamborghini. I'm going to guess those 45 or so and younger think, well, Randy, that's not even a question. The Lamborghini for sure. But I'm going to hope that maybe someone like a Don Durstein, he might say, I want that old Riviera. Maybe some of you would join me. So on this slide, I would pick the one on the left. Go to the next slide. Here we have two pictures of people, and I'm going to ask, who would you like to have this picture for? Which of these pictures would you like to post? Some of you already made your decision, but I didn't finish my sentence yet. Which of these pictures would you like to post on your dartboard? I'm going to guess that maybe some of you just made a switch in which one you want. You would change sides. Let's go on to the next one. Here's an activity for this afternoon. Let's just pretend this afternoon is beautiful as sunlight. You get to choose an activity. You can either go on your left to the flower show and enjoy that, all that excitement, or you can join people who love to throw the disc and be out on a disc golf course. This is probably the one where I think we're most agreed upon that we would choose the one on the right. Just my guess. I might be a little slanted in my views. Let's go to the next picture. Is this? I thought there was another one in before. Oh, that's right. Never mind. Here's one. Where do we want to go on a Sunday morning? Actually, here's where I'm hoping that we would get a little more unanimous opinion. We can either come to Doylestown Mennonite Church or find ourselves at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. For those of you who choose the one on the right, please call the prayer ushers and give your confession after the service today. One more picture. If you wanted to sort of have someone that you'd want to confide in, would you choose Joe on the left or the person on the right in the suit? There again, some of you perhaps quickly made it your own decision of which you would do, and this one's perhaps a little more ambiguous, and we just don't know what we would choose, but anyhow, they're the two choices that we have. If you want to go back to the other slides. I wanted to begin that to make it both a little lighthearted, but also to realize, to help us to think how quickly we tend to provide a label, how quickly we make a decision, how quickly we see something and we say, oh, that's really nice, or we say, oh, that's not nice, or I would like to have that, or I wouldn't like to have that. In our story today, that's what the disciples did. We were told Jesus was walking with the disciples, and the question they asked was, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And when you think about it, it's a really negative question. I mean, I think when I've read this before, I sort of thought, well, yeah, it's not very nice, but I didn't realize it is really negative to think about. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Think about how negative it is to think, what would parents do that would cause their child to be blind? And how fair is it for a person to be blind through no fault of their own, but their parents? Or the other connotation, was it this man himself? So in other words, what could he do in utero before he's even born? What could he have done in the womb so that he would be caused to be born blind? Now, many of us would say, well, we don't do that. We don't make labels like that. We don't make judgments. We no longer see the world in a cause and effect. And yet, in some ways, sometimes we do. I've heard on more than one occasion, and I would confess, not proudly, but I would say that at times we perhaps look at children and say, why did they turn out like that? Is it something about them? Or do you think perhaps their parents didn't guide them as the way they should have? Or perhaps there's other examples, and we can think of other problems, whether it be interpersonal problems or individuals or work situations or church situations. And it's easy to think about how we quickly label and decide and lay blame. Quickly decide who's at fault. And typically when we decide who's at fault, we tend to believe that that person is at fault 100% and the other person is completely innocent. We like to separate. We like to label. We like to judge. And typically, the other thing to notice is when we do this from afar. You know, they looked at this man as he was a topic for theological debate, as if he was a topic for political conversation. We look at problems as if, well, how do we fix these, those of us who are good and pure and right, how might we be able to put some good pieces to this? And yet notice how Jesus completely redirects their focus. Jesus, and I would suggest he did this in two ways. He quickly answered, neither this man nor his parents. In other words, he abolished that which they wanted to do to lay blame. He abolished the idea of that there was a cause and effect. Sin meant that when someone sinned, there was some evil or illness that would come about. There was a cause and effect in their he took away their worldview that they were working from. But he said this. He said, this man was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. Just think of the light that Jesus shines on this. It's a completely different approach. It's a completely different approach to address a problem. It's a completely different way to look at it. Just like our theme is, look instead for what God can do. That's what Jesus was saying here. How do we live and how do we walk and how do we interact with eyes and mindsets that say when we encounter a difficulty, instead of looking to place blame, we're going to look instead for what God can do. We're going to look instead for how God might be revealed. And it's interesting that he says how God might be revealed in him, in this man. As I said earlier, this passage, this story doesn't end in verse 12. We're going to stop there today, but we're going to see the continual revelation that is made by this man in this story in the weeks and in the verses ahead. And notice he doesn't say so that God can perform a miracle. I sometimes think that's how we look at this. We say, oh, well, this is an opportunity for God to do a miracle or these problems. No, he doesn't say that either. He simply says so that God's works can be revealed in him. This common man could be revealed. But he also does something else in redirecting their focus. He also, what I would say, he redirects the intention and the focus of the disciples by moving them from observers to participants. Because he also adds, not only is this done so that God's works could be revealed, he then quickly adds, we must work the works of him who sent me. He quickly adds, and he doesn't say, I'm going to quickly do a miracle so you all see there's a different ending to the story. But he says, we, he's talking to his disciples, those people who are asking this very question. He moves them instead of being people who observe, and he says, how might we in the midst of this be involved in doing the works that God has for us? It's interesting, he encourages them to be engaged in this situation rather than just observing it. He encourages them to think about, he says to them, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And then he goes on to say, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What he keeps saying is the works of his followers, the works of Jesus, the one who was sent, his works originate not with the sin, not with the problem, but his works originate with God and how God is directing. So what might it be for us to think about? What does it mean and what God might be calling us? What might be the works that God wants us to be involved with in the midst of the difficulties? What might be the works that God is inviting us when we think of this phrase, look instead for what God can do? It's not only look instead for what God can do. What is God saying in the midst of what God can do? What are we as followers of Jesus Christ called to be about in the midst of that difficulty? What are we supposed to be doing? What might we have to offer? What encouragement, what actions, what approach? That moves us in our world of all the things that are going on as we begin 2021, I believe we as followers of Jesus will find ourselves in a much better place when we understand, A, this call to say and to see our circumstances, to see our problems or both individual problems, whether it be illness, struggles, family conflict, or whether it be how it is we live in the world and carry out our work and manage our children and our family and work about. What if we began to see that, to say, how might God want to be revealed in the very way that we go about these things? And what might be the ways and approaches that God wants us to take in the midst of this? What might be those things that originate from God and are using us? As he says, as long as I am in the world, I am to be that light for the one who sent me. What if we saw as whatever time we have on this earth, how it is that we might be that light for what God sent us? You see, in this story, what Jesus did, he did what, you know, probably seems very crude in many ways. We were told he spat on the ground, made some mud, spread it on the man's eyes. Now here, I'm not suggesting we do this in a literal way. And then he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. You see, but that was what he was directed to do as God called him. And it was God. It's interesting to me that nowhere in this passage does it use the word miracle. Nowhere. But it refers to the works of God. And I would suggest that in our lives, we're not looking to perform miracles. We're looking to do the simple works that God calls us to be about. And then notice what happened. This man went and washed, and when he came back, he was able to see. And when he came back able to see, here is where it is that we can see that this man's life and this whole encounter and the engagement with Jesus, this is when it begins, so we can see how the works of God were beginning to be revealed in this man. You see, this man was a beggar that many people walked by. This was a beggar that many people saw day in and day out. Probably some paid attention to him and maybe gave him something. Others just sort of walked on the other side. We all know what that's like to see a beggar and how individually we respond as well as we watch other people. But this man was to become a witness where God's glory could be revealed through what Jesus did and how he responded with the faithful. Because notice what happened. It says, when he came back, the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask. You see, the question is this really him? Is this really the guy that we knew who was a blind beggar? Some of us may know people whose lives have been transformed and maybe we haven't seen for a while. And we hear stories about him. We might say, is that really the Joe that I knew? Is that really the Betty that I knew? We can fill in the blank. Is that really the person that I knew? And you see, that was the question these people were asking. And it's humorous in many ways because they're asking this question in this, they're saying, is this not the man? Someone saying it is he, some are saying it is not. Some are saying it's someone like him. And yet we are told the man kept saying, I am the man. You know, he kept saying, I'm here in front of you. Yes, I am the man. Look at me, touch me, I can see. He kept saying, I am the man. And then notice the next question. They said, well, then how were your eyes open? The next question is, they're wanting to know, how were your eyes open? What happened? What did you do? What, you know, they're trying to look for probably a complicated understanding. But there again, he is becoming a witness of God's power and glory as he simply, all he's doing is telling what happened. And he says, the man called Jesus made mud and spread it on my eyes and told me to go wash, and I did. And I received my sight. You see, this man did not have a complicated story. This man didn't suddenly come to understand in a theological way why he was blind, and he didn't come to a big long, but he made it very simple. He said, I couldn't see. This man told me to do this. I did, and I can see now. You see, this man was a revealer of God's glory and his witness. And then they finished with one more question. They said, where is he? Where is this Jesus? You see, there's this attractional nature when the people of God do God's work and there is something revealed in someone else's life. There's an attractional nature that people want to say, where is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? What is this all about? You see, when it happens, when followers of Jesus, and in this case, when Jesus himself was faithful to look instead and see what God could do, and he did what he was called to do in that moment, then this man began to reveal, and the question came about, where is he? And it's interesting, in our passage, we're going to end with, he says, I don't know. I don't know, but there's this curiosity that has begun. There's this curiosity. There's this questioning of how they might know this Jesus. What might they learn? What might they gain from him? We don't know all the questions that were going on. We don't know what else is going to happen at this point. But the focus is on how God used this man to cause a stir. How God used this man to, as Jesus proclaimed, to say, so that works of God might be revealed. How Jesus used this moment with his disciples to teach them and to teach us. We don't stand afar and speculate about the problems of the world. We don't stand afar and speculate and argue and debate and look, name our sources and name other sources. But rather, I believe God is inviting us in 2021 to say, how might we look instead for what God can do? And not only how might we look instead for what God can do, how might we, as Jesus said, be about the works of the one who sent us? And in our lives, we might say, how might we be about the works of the one who has called us? How might we be about the works of the one who we call Jesus? How might we be about the works of the one we call Lord? How might we be about the works and redirect our attitude, redirect our actions, redirect our focus, rather waiting for others to step in, rather than standing afar? How might we engage? And we don't even have to know the ending of the story of how God is going to reveal it. And what God's going to do, we need to simply step in and, as Jesus said, do the works of God as we have time. As we begin this new year, I invite you to think and to be aware, particularly this week, how quickly do you provide a label? How quickly do you assess blame? How quickly do you sort of know who is right and who is wrong and who's at fault and who's not at fault, and you can jump in with your wisdom? Will you consider redirecting your focus? Will you consider letting Jesus redirect your focus and redirecting your attitude and redirecting and say, maybe this situation, I don't know the conclusion, but maybe it's something that God wants to use to bring glory to God's self. And how might we engage the work that God calls us to be about? How might we engage the work of Jesus and just be the simple hands, the simple work, not big, powerful miracles, the simple work of touching someone in need, of reaching out, of whatever it is God calls us to do, and then seeing from there, trusting that we believe, as we're faithful as Jesus was, that we're going to look and see what God can do in the days, months, and in the year ahead. Let us pray.